Good morning. It's so good to be with you here this morning. For those of you who don't know, my name is Becky, and my husband Kevin and I are the co-campus pastors here. And before we have our baptism this morning, I just want to share some thoughts with you about baptism, but also continuing in our series where we've been exploring the implications of the resurrection. So understanding that as wonderful as the event of Easter is and celebrating on that day, the implications of the resurrection are every day for us. And so last week, we talked about how sin curses everything. We talked about sin as an active force in our life, that sin is a slave driver, that sin separates us from God, and because of that, leads us to death. And we also talked about how there's nothing that we can do to get ourselves out of that sin curse. But we also talked about the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus, remember this phrase, reverses the curse for us through his death on the cross in our place and his resurrection. And so for all who put their trust in Jesus, he reverses the curse of sin in our life. And so becoming a Christian really means acknowledging, yes, I have participated in that sin curse. I have sinned. I acknowledge that. I acknowledge that there's nothing that I can do. And in fact, there's no human system that can save us. There's no educational system or political system. There's no religious system that can save us. Being born into a Christian family doesn't save you. Being born into a Christian nation doesn't save you. Only Jesus. Belief and trust in Jesus alone, his death and resurrection. Romans 6:23 puts it this way. It says, "For the wages of sin, what we've earned through our sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." A little later on, we're going to celebrate someone who has made that decision to accept God's gift of eternal life, to be in right relationship with God, and who wants to share that with each and every one of us publicly through the decision to be baptized. But first, why do we baptize people? It's kind of a funny ritual if you're not used to it, dunking people underwater, or maybe in different traditions, sprinkling them with water, or, you know, what is this ritual that we Christians have of baptism? Well, baptism represents another implication of the resurrection. And so as we talked about last week, Jesus reverses the curse, but once we put our faith in Jesus, we don't go on living the same way that we always have. And in fact, we, through Jesus, have new life. Actually, turn to somebody next to you, and it's on the screen. Say that phrase to them, Jesus brings new life. Go ahead, take a minute. So he reversed that curse on that moment that he died on the cross and was resurrected, what we celebrate at Easter, but he also brings new life. In 1 Corinthians, when Apostle Paul is writing a letter to the Corinthians, he says it this way. And he, meaning Jesus, he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. What an incredible promise that we get through faith in Jesus. And what that looks like in your life today, as you become a believer of Jesus, is that sin is no longer the most active force in your life. Jesus is. It means that sin no longer compels you. Jesus compels you. It means you're no longer separated from God. In fact, you can have an intimate relationship with God, and not just in eternity. Sometimes we think being a Christian is like, oh, now I'm set after I die. Eternity starts now. You can have that intimate relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. It also means we're no longer dead in our sins, but we are alive in Christ. And so this is why we baptize. Baptism is an outward symbol of an inward change. Anybody who's here who is married understands the power of a symbol. You're probably wearing something on your ring that symbolizes there is a pretty significant change in your life, and you want to let other people know about that. And that's what baptism is. In his letter, Paul liked to write a lot of letters, and so in his letter to the Romans, Paul is talking about the grace and the forgiveness that we receive through Jesus, and he speaks to this idea of new life. He's making the point that, gosh, the more sin in your life, the more grace you receive. But that kind of brings up an interesting question. So Paul liked to ask himself questions and then answer them. And so in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, he says, all right, the more grace, the more sin. Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism. That's when you go underwater. Into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a, let's say this phrase together, new life. For we have been united with Jesus in a death like his. We will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. And now if we die with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. What a beautiful symbol that God has given us to remind us that the dead sin of our lives is gone and we are raised to life. We participate with him in his resurrection. I love that promise. Now, let's be clear. Baptism doesn't save you. It's not a ritual that gets you into heaven. But baptism says publicly, I die to myself and I live for Christ. I identify myself as a Christ follower. I'm a part of God's family. You know what the funny thing about families is? They kind of look like each other, right? And so if you ever see anybody walking around here that's not me but has big blue eyes, a pointy nose, thin lips, and a goofy personality, that person's probably related to me. It's pretty easy. I have six siblings. It's pretty easy to point us out because we look like each other. We have similar mannerisms and quirks and kind of sound alike. And so the difference, though, between your biological family and the family of God that you're baptized into is that the connection isn't necessarily biological. The connection is spiritual. We weren't born of the same parents, but we are reborn into a family where we have the same heavenly Father. We have the same older brother, Jesus. Jesus, as the one and only Son of God, is co-heirs with us. He's our older brother. How many of you here have older brothers? I have two of them, all right? And they were very good older brothers for the most part. There was that one time where we had dirty water coming out of our faucet. My one older brother told me it was iced tea, so I took a big gulp. But other than that, other than I was dying from, you know, whatever bacteria was in there, wonderful older brothers. But in Jesus, we have an older brother who died for us, who said, I'm going to take your spot. And I'm going to die for you, and I'm going to make a way for you to be in right relationship with our Father. And we, as a family of God, we start to look like our older brother. We start to act like our older brother. We start to forgive like him. We start to love like him. We start to laugh and delight in life like he did. Jesus went to a lot of dinner parties, that's all I'm saying. We start to view others and view the world through his loving gaze. We start to desire to have a pure heart and rid ourselves of sin. Now, Jesus never had to rid himself of sin. He was sinless, but we start to desire that as he did. And we share in the inheritance of our heavenly Father. We are co-heirs with Jesus. You want to know the best part of our inheritance from Jesus? It's his Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, which empowers us, gives us strength and wisdom and courage to live life God's way, to live life to the full. And so we have the Holy Spirit with us. And we see all of this come together, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the baptism of Jesus. Did you know Jesus was baptized? We have a record of it in Matthew's gospel. It's Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. And so Jesus comes, and John the Baptizer was baptizing people, and actually also happened to be Jesus' cousin. And so Jesus shows up and says, hey, I want to be baptized. And John's like, no way, I can't baptize you. You should be baptizing me. I mean, John knew that Jesus was the Son of God and the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And this is Jesus' reply. He says, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. And we see in Jesus' baptism that God publicly affirms, this is my Son. He is a beloved Son. I delight. I am pleased with him. And in baptism, the Trinity is present. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit welcome the person being baptized, saying, this is my daughter. This is my Son. And Wesleyans, we call this in communion and other sacraments means of grace. That's what John Wesley called it. And really all of that means is that God in his love and his generosity has given us practical, physical, tangible ways to experience his presence. There's nothing magic about the tub or the water. It is the means of grace by which we are able to see and experience God's presence. It's a sacrament, and really what that means is it's a sacred moment. It's a sacred moment in the life of Adele, who is going to be baptized. It's a sacred moment in the life of our church. This is our first baptism service at our East Aurora campus, and so this is a special milestone for all of us. And so for those of you who are baptized, you've been baptized, remember that commitment that you made. Remember your baptism and be encouraged by that. And also celebrate with Adele as she comes forward. And so as we move into baptism, I'm going to invite Pastor Kevin to come on up. I'm going to invite Adele Ferreira to come on up, girl. She's going to be baptized today. Give her a round of applause. And so we celebrate baptism. Excuse me as I move this very heavy chair. Is we like to have the person share his or her faith story. And so Adele has written one out, and she has asked me to share this with her. And just so you know, Adele is an eighth grade student in our youth group, and she and her family have been attending here, I think, pretty much since we opened, right, in September. And so this is Adele's faith story. Yes. Oh, okay. Are the elementary school
kids? So the elementary kids are going to come up and join to see
Great.
This. So they're on their way up right now, Dom, right? You said? So
awesome.
Let's just give them a second.
Yeah.
As they get prepared.
Excellent.
But it's been a privilege to be able to get to know Adele as well as being a part of our church family, her family, and then also just a youth group. And so, Adele, this is an awesome day for you. We're so excited. So we'll wait for the kids to come up. They can sit in the front rows or whatever they want to, just to kind of...
You guys can come sit right here in the front. Look at these kids. Awesome. And I also want to introduce Yomira. Yomira is one of our youth leaders at Revive. And so she is here to help baptize. Look at all these kids. All right.
This
they just
great.
Keep coming. Come on up. Awesome. All right.
All right. Sorry to mean to interrupt.
No, no. I'm glad. I'm glad you guys could join us. So I'm just going to take a moment to read Adele's faith story, and then we will baptize her. So Adele says, I've always had a connection with God, just not the strongest connection he wanted. Before finding that connection, saying my prayers at night, going to church when we could, and celebrating Easter and Jesus' birth was all normal to me. But it wasn't exactly building what I needed. Moving around all my life with the military, I never really settled into one specific church that I truly liked and felt at home with. Dealing with anxiety and not connecting with people didn't help either. Before we moved to East Aurora, I went to a youth service at a big church without my siblings. They were in a different service. I felt out of place, and I never wanted to go back. I was surrounded by people who didn't know me, and I didn't know them, mostly high schoolers and adults. I was in sixth grade and was asked, "Are you going to summer camp this year?" from people I didn't even know. It overwhelmed me that these people who all knew each other from this big church, as nice as they were asking me to step pretty far out of my comfort zone. Well, we moved to East Aurora 2 years ago and found this church on Facebook. The first service we went to in person at Revive was interesting. I wasn't used to going to the adult service and felt a little out of place until the worship team started singing. We were then going to church every Sunday, and I started getting this almost tingly feeling throughout my body, which I soon realized was the feeling of being connected to God through listening to the worship songs. I'd just begun really finding that connection. And once we started going to Revive, which is much smaller than our other church, my sister and I then started going to youth group together every Tuesday night. And every night I came home with a smile on my face. Even if I didn't know everyone just yet, I was having fun and feeling more connected to the church itself. And it was at one of these youth group nights that it clicked that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I noticed that my mom took notes during service and started to fall in love with writing, even just writing to get things out. I eventually wanted to start taking notes as well to give me something to do and really focus on during service. I started out writing on the backs of envelopes from the back seat pockets of the chairs until my mom found me a notebook for church. Since then, I take notes at every service, listen and sing along to the worship songs at church and on the radio. I have made some amazing friends through him in youth group, all while building my connection even stronger with the Lord. And she concludes, "I have gone through a lot of change with moving, COVID, leaving my friends behind, and starting somewhere new for the fifth time, and dealing with middle school in general." I think we all remember those days. But she says, "I am now ready for the Lord to show me my way to happiness and a wonderful life."
So Adele, is it your desire to tell the world that you are a follower of Jesus through baptism?
Yes.
Okay. The water's not too cold either. That's good. So Yo's going to help me. We're honored to baptize you, Adele, if you want to just plug your nose. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah! Congratulations to you. I want to pray for her real quickly. Father, we thank you so much for Adele. Thank you for the way that you've been moving in her life. Thank you that you allowed her to come into the knowledge of you, and that today she's taken that step of obedience to follow you, Jesus. And I believe in this moment, it's as though heaven is rejoicing just as we are rejoicing here with her. And that God, you are saying, just as you said to Jesus, "This is my beloved daughter, who I am well pleased." God, would you protect her? Would you guide her? God, would you remind her that you made her, as we read earlier, that you have a plan for her life, that you would orchestrate every step, that she would be so in tune with your spirit, she would participate with your spirit to know what and who and how to live and to love like Jesus, and that you would fill her with all of your Holy Spirit from head to toe, that she would know without a shadow of a doubt, God, where you're calling her and what it looks like to love each day. So God, we thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name.
We're going to sing one last song, but before we do, if you're a believer of Jesus and you have not been baptized, I just want to ask you, what's holding you back? What's keeping you from publicly declaring that you are a follower of Jesus, that you are a part of the family of God? If you have questions about that or you're interested in that, we're going to have another opportunity in August, and so you can come talk to Kevin or I or mark it in the card and drop that card on your giving box in the giving box on the way out. But perhaps the Holy Spirit is prompting someone to do that today. We've got everything set up for you. We've got extra towels. We've got extra t-shirts. And if that you feel like the Holy Spirit might be prompting you to do that, go during this last song, sneak back. Kevin will be out in the lobby. He'll just ask you a couple questions. We'll baptize you today. But that's it. That's up to you and the Holy Spirit. And so as we go into our last song, kids, you can join us or go back. It's up to you. Stay? Okay, you guys are going to stay and sing. Please stand as we sing our final song today. All right, we've got two more baptisms. How awesome is this? Woo! So we're just going to ask your names, and I'll give you the microphone. We won't ask for your life story, but just your name and anything else you want to share.
Adam Brunner. This is my daughter, Kylie Brunner. And literally since we have started coming to this church, God has just worked in both of our lives every day and the signs he showed us. And we're so excited to be part of it. And we're so excited to have him in our life.
Great. Yes. I won't ask you how old you are, but just how old are you?
13.
Oh my gosh. Awesome. I love it. Who's going in first?
So I'm going to ask Adam if you want to go first, and then you can help me baptize your daughters. That sound good?
That's
so let's put this down here, and if you want to just step in. So again, just pretend your favorite sports team just won the Super Bowl or the Stanley Cup. When Adam comes out of the water, I want you to cheer as loud as you can, all right? Go ahead and take a seat, Adam. And we talked real quick between services. You were like, we just got to get baptized today. God's just saying, today is the day. Do you profess, Adam, that Jesus is indeed Lord of your life and that you believe he died, he was buried, but he rose again, and that today you declare that you are a follower of Christ through your baptism?
Absolutely.
All right. Adam, it is my privilege, it's our privilege, to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Yeah! Woo! Praise God. Dude, you gotta give me a hug. Oh, yeah. All right, come out here. Kylie, we'll have you step in. Adam, stay right here with me. You're gonna help, okay? Can he step in for you? Kylie, you wanna take a seat? Kylie, right? Right, take a seat. Kylie, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes.
That he came, died for your sins. He was buried, resurrected. He's alive today, and that you, through your baptism, declare that he is your Lord and Savior, and you choose to follow him the rest of your life?
Yeah.
Okay. Kylie, it's our privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yes! Yes! Give your dad a hug. Can I pray for you? God, we thank you so much for what you're doing in this family's life. Thank you for Adam and for Kylie. Thank you for the way that you have worked in their life up to this point. You have such an amazing plan that the best is yet to come for them. I pray that they would know that you, God, love them, that you created them, that even in this moment you say, these are my kids who I am so proud of. They are my beloved. That they would just sense that to the core of their being. That they, Jesus, they would know and understand that you go before them, that your Spirit is alive in them. Would you fill them up with your Holy Spirit right now so that they would just know without a shadow of a doubt, God, that you are in control and you have an amazing plan for their life. May they be people of hope and peace and joy, that as they follow you, Jesus, people would see you in them, and that, God, you would get all the glory and all the honor. So we ask your blessing on them now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.